Welcome to Vox Vomitus, also known as Word Vomit.
Hello, hello, everyone, and welcome to the latest episode of Vox Vomitus. I am your host, Jennifer Ann Gordon, the author of the Kindle Award-winning novel Beautiful, Frightening, and Silent, as well as the novel Pretty Ugly and the Hotel series. Joining me today, as always, is my Vox Vomitus vixen, Allison Martine, author of The Bourbon Books, which includes Dibs Since September and Move on Melinda, and soon to be released Climb the Salmon Ladder, which will probably get a release date on that, an official release date, maybe this week or next week?
We'll see. I teased the cover reveal for newsletter subscribers only, and I still didn't even put a date in that.
I know, I'm
you
on your newsletter.
You can't hold me to anything. But yeah, so, I'm hoping end of this month it'll come out, but I want to make sure it's perfect. I don't want to rush it and then be like, oh, hey, let me fix all the things that I'm...
Right. Delay shipping and things like that. So if you are tuning in live, you're probably wondering, where the heck is May Cobb?
So are we. She'll be here in a minute.
I'm sure she'll be here in a minute. We are here to discuss her book, My Summer Darlings. If you have not seen the cover of it, it features some amazing maraschino cherries. So we are here with... I couldn't resist.
Are you just eating them out of the jar now?
I'm eating them out of a bowl.
I was bummed because I can only find maraschinos without stems. So I'm literally just like... I don't have like a sexy stem and I'm just using my fingers. So that's fun.
I'm using my fingers too. I was going to bring baby wipes up. So it was like eating a cherry, then like washing my hands.
Seductively like that?
Seductively because, and that would be like totally, hey, May!
May! Yay!
May, you missed my not sexy eating a cherry already.
Mine wasn't sexy either. But we did.
What? Gorgeous, and I'm like in Texas heat wave mom hair.
May, how hot is it right now where you are? Is it in the hundreds already, or does it just feel like it?
It just feels like it, but it was 100 on Sunday. So
nope.
It's
Jen's like, I'm going to stay in the New England cool forever.
Yeah, it's starting to get warm here. May, we decided to dress like a little trampy today. Yeah.
I did not realize with my hair down in this shirt that in certain angles I look naked. I'm not. I am wearing a shirt, people, but when my hair goes down, I can't really tell where my shirt starts and my hair stops. And
well, hey, what's funny is
gets us views.
Allison sent me a message. She's like, I'm wearing a trampy top. And I'm like, I'm wearing a half shirt, which I know nobody will see, but I am wearing a half shirt in honor of the wives in Summer, my summer
darlings.
The Eden Place, because I feel like they were trying a little hard to get someone's attention. So
exactly, and I'm in my rocker shirt. You know,
I love it.
The vintage rocker shirt. Are you wearing Daisy Dukes?
You know, I do have shorts on. They're not Dukes, but I should have worn those in on like Jen.
Yes.
I know, Jen, the character, Jen.
Yes.
Not me, Jen.
Yeah.
Jen, the darling. Jen, darling. They're all going to be our darlings now.
Oh, that would be great. So, May, welcome back to Vox Vomitus. We love having you here. Tell our viewers a little bit about yourself and then a little bit about your upcoming release, because it releases 1 week from yesterday, My Summer Darlings.
It's crazy. Yeah.
I'm going to eat a cherry.
I'm so impressed. My name is May, and I've been a writer for a long time, and here's my book. Woo. Trying to center it.
So that
You got it.
And this
little sword.
Yeah, the sword through it, which I think someone pointed out is like perfect for the backstabbing, which I thought of.
The cherry to the back.
It's about three lifelong friends in a small East Texas town. They all live in the same neighborhood, and it's set over the course of a summer. And this mysterious, handsome stranger, Will, moves into town, and he slowly and methodically upends all their lives. And lots of bad fear and booziness and sex and steaminess and all sorts of bad stuff. So it's my favorite kind of stuff.
Or is it good stuff? I will say the heat level on this book was up there with the sexy stuff.
I mean, right? Look, we read The Hunting Wives, and The Hunting Wives was sexy, but this was like, hold on, I can't read this with the kids around sexy.
Yeah. I was like, I think this is like kind of porny in a good way. One very specific scene. And I loved it because I realized that Will Harding was a terrible, terrible man, but I didn't care.
Don't care. Want him anyway.
Don't care. Huge crush. Book boyfriend.
Hashtag not my boyfriend. Maybe.
I love it.
But I hope this is the response you want from your fans when they read the book. Like, ooh, he was despicable, but I too would have worn my Daisy Dukes and gone over to his house.
Wave from the, oh, look, I'm doing gardening. Hi, Will.
Yeah. I hope that that's, you know, the response. I'm sure it won't be, but I'm glad that y'all respond that way. I'm sure there's a lot of like, maybe I've been on Goodreads a little bit, but.
Like, don't go on Goodreads.
We'll off there. No. We are banning you from looking at your reviews on Goodreads.
Can you take my account and
just give us your passwords and we will monitor it for you. Nasty responses on your behalf.
I wish we could block our own Goodreads accounts. Like we can block people on Facebook. I wish I could block myself on Goodreads because
don't look.
Every few months, sometimes few weeks, depending on like where I am in my psychotic spiral, I go to Goodreads and just obsessively look at all the horrifying things people say about my work.
See, now my favorite recently was, so I was running a special on my books, and so I was hoping maybe I'd get some new reviews, and I noticed there were some new on Goodreads, but there was one there that, it was not a great review, but there were no words. Same person reviewed the sequel. I love how much they hated the book that they read the sequel to.
Like, that's crazy.
That's psychotic. I'm like, so you hated the book and yet you went and read the sequel, which was not on sale. So you paid full price to come and complain about it, but without any words, just low stars. All right.
That is so weird and so Goodreads. And I think it's actually like hot sauce, which is so Texas of me, but I'm going to go rinse my
Go, May.
Go.
We'll be here when you get back. Hot sauce in the eye. That's hot the new show. That's like the hot ones where they're having their hot wings and having interviews with celebrities. That's not our shtick. We're doing the wrong shtick today.
Yeah. I don't know that show.
You haven't seen it? They have some guy and they challenge them to eat really hot wings with really hot sauce.
Oh,
and
no.
And they're in a conversation and the celebrities are like crying because they're like, yeah, that was a great movie. This is so hot. Ghost peppers. And they're dying, but they're still trying to carry on a conversation.
I once got a whole ton of gold glitter in my eye because I was wearing
the worst. It can scratch your cornea.
Yeah. Like I was wearing like this really beautiful decorative gold mask for a performance. And then I was like, oh, it feels like there's something in my eye. And it was like chunks of the mask were in my eye.
Oh no.
Yeah. And you know me, I have like an eye phobia. So I could barely deal with it. And then I was like, but I couldn't touch it because I had a mask on. I'd scratch it. And like I was in a performance. So
you have to just, I think, rinse it when you can. Because
I was like winking a lot. I was just like.
Everybody thought you were really flirtatious that night.
I have the worst wink in the world. So I feel like they probably thought I had like a nervous tic.
That could be too. They're like,
they'd be like,
having problems.
Yeah. Like maybe she is having a small stroke.
She could be. Oh, I checked one of my writing buddies on Monday for a stroke. I don't remember what she said or did, but I'm like, are you all right? And then she did this. I'm fine. Because apparently that's the thing. She's like, I always think I'm having a stroke, so I'm just checking. No, I'm good. That's okay.
We're May's all back.
For strokes now. Don't. May, are you all right? Maybe. May, you're frozen. Hop off. Try again. We'll be here. She looks happy though. She's happy to be
here. She's happy to be here.
Permanently smiling, but not going anywhere yet.
to be frozen. At least she's not frozen, like holding her eye.
That's okay. I went ahead and moved. And when she comes back, I'll put her in. Still don't have you, May. That's okay. We'll try
this
again.
This is what happens when it's almost 100 degrees in May.
We have
May the month, not May the person.
We're smiling. Are you there? Or not? I think she just teleported. May, are you doing magic tricks? She just like was gone from her chair. So we're obviously having a connection problem. This is what happens when we have a live podcast, because people, the internet does not always cooperate.
The internet, yeah.
Forever, honestly.
Exactly.
Do you remember when we had Sean Cosby on? And it was like coming back, hold on, coming back. And then for part of it, we're just like, okay, your phone connection works better. So we just had audio. So yeah. We just had to imagine him laughing the whole time because he was telling us hilarious stories. So I love that podcast. I love that podcast too.
There was a podcast I did solo and I was interviewing Paul Tremblay, and he was so kind and benevolent because I was having such internet problems that I would ask him a question and then my internet would cut out. And he was a pro. He was like, I'm just going to vamp.
I know what the question was. I'll answer. And I remember because I was online and then posting comments. I'm like, I'll chat with Paul till Jen can get back on here. Yeah. But that was in your old house. So hopefully where you are now, things are a little bit better. But meanwhile, So my summer darlings, I don't know about you, Jen, but I loved the fact that here you have three. These are not young women. I'm not going to be rude and say they're old because they're basically my age. So
they're our age. These are
premenopausal bus or anything, but these are women who should know better. And yet they all just fell apart. I loved that.
I loved it too, because I feel like as somebody who is of that age, there are times that I very much feel like I'm about to fall apart. Imagine every couple hours, if somebody moves to your neighborhood who looks, we'll just say, like Alexander Skarsgård.
Okay, we both went there, but I think we've established this already, that neither one of us has a really long list, despite the fact that your husband is blonde. Neither one of us has a long list of blonde men who are tall, but you said tall. He's tall. He's European. He's blonde.
I cheated and asked May.
Hey, was he supposed to be Alexander Skarsgård? Because that's where we went. Was there another?
Yes.
Was there a visual reference? Okay.
No, that was, it was him. It's him.
Okay, good.
It's got to be him.
In the movie where you're like, okay, in the movie or the miniseries, we are demanding Skarsgårds. And no imitation Skarsgårds or lesser brother Skarsgårds who are creepy clowns but are not exactly sex symbols. Yes, I said that. I apologize.
I still find all of the Skarsgård sex symbols.
But I'm just saying for this particular role, Will Harding is Alexander. And let's just agree to that.
Yeah, and I'll step up and play Jen.
Oh, good for you.
If we have to, I'll play the role of Jen.
May, we can't hear you, huh? I'm pulling you from the broadcast. Hopefully we can get a clearer signal here in a minute. I know that there were three main ladies plus children. And it's funny because it wasn't super complicated, but I felt like maybe just my brain was slow, but I made sure at the beginning, I wrote out a little chart. I think I told you this, where I'm like, okay, so Cynthia's married to this one. And this is what she majored in college and what kind of family she came from. And this is her kid. And I thought it was interesting because they also had one child that was all like high school age. Although one of them, I guess for some reason, I thought Casey was a toddler. until maybe about a third of the way through, I'm like, oh.
Until they started describing him as hot.
Well, or I think when they were talking, he's going to get a car, and we're not going to give a toddler, well, a toddler could get like a Power Wheels, but not an actual car.
Yeah, but I loved the only children stuff.
Oh, you would.
As an only child.
Yes.
I really thought, you know, May did a great job of getting these three women who are all only children. Because it's like such a phenomenon when you're an only child and you have friends that are only children, because you really do like force yourselves to become a family. So it really gives their friendship dynamic a different spin, because it's, they're more than just friends, because just friends would never backstab each other the way family kind of can.
Oh, you know, and I get that. And watching how they formed each other and what they would allow each other to do and their expectations. And it just made me think about how my friends, for better or for worse, have done that as well, as like what they think is who they think you are. And so it's like, oh, well, you're like this. And oh, you're into doing that? That's nice. And then turn away from it. And how that, especially I think Cynthia was the one who had that the most, where maybe she wasn't pursuing some of the things she wanted to. And it wasn't even just, oh, my parents didn't, because that's usually the trope. Oh, my parents didn't support me, but thinking my friends didn't support me. So yeah. I kind of went on this path over here instead.
Yeah. It was a great dynamic. I couldn't. And it went above and beyond. Like, I don't want to get too spoilery, but this is more than just a book about three women fighting for the attention of the same man. It is that.
It is. But it gets so dark.
It gets so dark. What I loved is you finished it a little bit before me, and I messaged you, I think it was Sunday night, and I was like, oh, I have like 120 pages left, but I won't finish it tonight. And you said, well, when you get to the last 80 pages, you're not going to be able to put it down.
I called
and,
it.
Yeah. And you were right. Cause I got to that 80 page mark and I was just like, oh my gosh.
That's when the holy shit moment came, because it's not a big spoiler, but, and I don't want to spoil what happens in this, but I'll tell you that at the beginning, we start with a scene where someone's clearly in danger. And yes, there's some vagaries about exactly what's happening. And then we flash back earlier to kind of see, okay, how did we get to this very bad situation? And things were getting set up in such a way that I thought it would be, okay, that'll be resolved very, very near the end. But it was earlier than that. And things just kept spitting bigger and more crazy and out of control, to the point where I couldn't stop when I got to the 80 page mark. I'm like, nope, I have to see how this thing blows.
Yeah, when we got to the flash forward and I knew I still had a significant chunk of the book left, I was like, where can it go from here? I'm certainly going to stay up till 2 and find out. Yes. And I did. It made me very thankful that you are 3 hours earlier than me, because I finished that book at like 1:30 in the morning and then messaged you, and you were awake because it was a normal time.
You're like, so Allison, and I go, I told you.
I know. Yeah. You're like, I thought you weren't going to finish it tonight.
And then I got to the 80 page mark, and the 80 page mark. Don't go looking it up on the 80 page mark. I don't know exactly what it is. I don't math. Everybody knows this. I don't math. It was about there though, but because a lot of times I feel like books, and I don't even know specifically, is this a domestic thriller? What would you call this besides summer reading? Because it is.
It's a total beach book.
Is that a genre? That's not a genre either.
I don't think so. I want to say this book fit a bunch of criteria for what they call domestic suspense, usually includes women day drinking to the point where they make bad decisions. It's like one of the things. I want to say it was
not
the author,
booze.
Not booze.
Good decisions sometimes.
The author Amber Garza. Her TikTok is hilarious. She is the author of, I believe her book was Where I Left Her.
Where I Left Her is the one.
Okay. And her TikTok is great. So, and I don't TikTok, but I do stalk people on TikTok.
Me?
And
May! I am so sorry that happened to me earlier today. And it's like, I live in Austin. It's supposed to be Silicon Valley. Like,
you guys are supposed to be developed there, but apparently you're not. I'm
super
sorry.
Annoying. Anyway, I'm on a completely new device. This should work.
You sound great.
You sound great.
Do you have
we've
hot
just been like
dry
gushing
anymore?
About the book. Yeah.
My eye is fine. And now it's working and I can see y'all better. And it's not. So yes, I left off at Alexander Skarsgård.
Yes.
That's all I can think about. So we need to talk about something else.
Well, Jen wants to be Jen. Tell me
Jen's
about Jen.
Kitty
and Cynthia.
Yeah.
Did you have anybody in mind for any of those? Like, I was picturing a lot of these people, and mostly I just was thinking, who has the most punchable face to be Felix? Who is an ex-husband? And I just wanted to punch him for existing, honestly.
Isn't he awful?
He's so awful. And it's not a spoiler, but he's not just a character in the past. He does show up in the book, and just, I wanted to, sorry, bitter little
jerk. stand him. Yeah, I hated him so much. I hated him more than I hated Will.
Yeah,
no, I think you do. And I think it's because even though you're like, this person has some serious issues we might need to discuss, there's still something that's charming and that's almost endearing, even though it's really screwed up. There's nothing good about Felix.
No, nothing good. At least Will looks really good in like some khaki pants and like a collarless shirt that's unbuttoned. And you're like, well, that's enough for me sometimes.
He's hotter than all the other husbands.
Exactly. Exactly.
So I know I messaged you, May, and I was just like, who are you seeing for these people? So I know who you're thinking of for your kitty.
Mm-hmm. And kitty. Who do we get as kitty? Give us a kitty.
Reese Witherspoon.
I always feel like almost every book I read now, I just recast Big Little Lies.
It works.
Everyone who's was in Big Little Lies just becomes like, okay, so which one is Nicole Kidman going to play?
And it also helps that Reese can do a really good Southern drawl and like Kitty can turn that on. So you want someone who can really pour that on. And I can see her just being like, hi y'all.
Yeah.
Right. I don't do a good Southern drawl. I fake it.
And Reese had that like edge to her in movies like Election, where you're like, oh, you are going to do what she says.
I'm a little scared now. Backing away slowly from the tiny blonde person.
Yeah, I love Election. I was obsessed with that movie. She's so great in that.
She's great in everything. Yeah, so when May told me, oh, Reese, and I was like, oh, Reese is in my book. She's the star of my book, too. So
my only problem is Reese isn't that tall. She'd only get to about maybe waist high on Alexander Skarsgård.
That might not be a problem.
Sorry, I'm still reeling because we just watched a show recently and I looked up the lead actor who I'm mildly obsessed with now, and he's 6 foot frickin' five, and I'm going, no way he's that tall. And I'm still kind of stuck on it. I'm stuck in this zone of 6'5". I'm only 5'2". How big would he? Not like I'm ever going to see him. Like it matters how big I am compared to Lee Pace, but hi Lee Pace if you're watching.
I don't know who that is, but 6'5" is taller than
Adam Driver, is what I'm saying.
That's pretty tall.
He is.
My standard for height is like, is this Alexander Skarsgård Adam Driver height, or is it lower or higher?
Even taller. But it's just one of those things where I didn't see anything in the show that made me think he was that tall and other actors around him. And I'm thinking, so everybody was on boxes the whole time, or they had him walk in a trench? Because otherwise I don't understand. So we're going to have to put Reese on a box. And Alexander can just do that thing where he like comes down and looks at you.
I think Reese would look really cute in like some stiletto heels or big tall espadrilles with her Daisy Dukes, though.
Yeah, wedging around.
For sure. Yeah.
So then who do you have for Cynthia?
I didn't really picture an actress for her in even.
Are you Cynthia? Is that what you did the self insert? You're Cynthia?
Yeah, right. Well, she's
in a minute.
So gorgeous. I don't know. Yeah, I don't know. I really would love to see it as like a limited series, though. I think it could be so.
Yes, it would be. Yeah, like Cynthia, because she's so gorgeous. And then there's a very steamy scene with her when she's sunbathing.
Oh, that scene. You're going to have some actresses who are like, I'm not doing that scene.
I know.
That was a good scene.
Yeah, that's gonna have to be in the contract. Are you willing to? I'm not gonna spoil what happens in that, but sunbathing, it's more than just taking in the sun.
Y'all are gonna make me blush. I'm already gonna be so embarrassed on release day.
Are you?
No, I love it.
So, is this the steamiest book you've ever written? Yes.
Yes. Yes, I can't believe that it's steamier than The Hunting Wives, but it turned out that way. I was like, holy shit. Like, why? How did I get even more?
Were you like blushing while writing it?
I feel like once you go there, you have to keep going. And I know I've had this too, that it feels like each one has to go a little higher in the steam factor, because then otherwise we're like, oh, well, this one, you know, you didn't have quite as much as you did in that one. And I didn't pass out from heat exhaustion or have to go take a cold shower, and therefore you failed. So I can see like the next one, you're going to have to pull off the 25-page sex scene, which was in a book that I read and I went, 25 pages? Wow.
That's too much. I'm exhausted just thinking of that.
Yeah, that sounds
exhausted reading it.
Yeah, like that's not realistic. That would just be painful after a while, unless that was the point.
Oh, okay. We don't want 25 painful. No, that's a different kind of, yeah, no, we don't want that. Not your audience, May, not your audience.
So May, when you were, when we were having the technical difficulties, we were trying to figure out what genre do you consider this book? Do you consider it suspense, thriller, like domestic suspense? Because there's a lot of day drinking. And
we were discussing if beach reads were a category. And if so, if it's just day drinking, and as you said, women making bad decisions, if that's a category, we're like, is that a genre?
Well, so I brought up Amber Garza's TikTok because she has a TikTok where you were like, you know, you're writing a domestic suspense when these are your characters, and she like goes to the freezer and pulls out vodka and starts drinking, and you're like, there you go.
That would be them.
That's brilliant. I love that. Yeah, I think this one in The Hunting Wives is kind of like almost like a hybrid between women's fiction and thrillers. And yeah. I think it's kind of like they're both a little bit neighborhoody domestic suspense, but not like, you know, like Girl on a Train where there's a crime in the beginning. I mean, I guess there isn't this because it cuts to the present, but yeah, it definitely.
Right, but if you're going chronologically in the book, if you reorder the chapters, there's no crime when it starts. You just have people who are sitting there doing watering their lawns, and in comes a new guy upending everything. It's not like, okay, there's a body found. That's not how it starts. This isn't intrigue about that. We're seeing how we get to some situations and the way you handle it. Chef's kiss on that, because I don't want to spoil any of it, but The way that those scenes were handled, because it wasn't just one in the beginning, but they were intersliced and where my brain was going, which is part of the reason why when we got to the point, I told Jen, when you get to the 80 pages left mark, you cannot put it down because you just need to know.
That was true.
You need to see how this is going to go.
Thank you. Thank you.
And it is true. It's what kept me up till 2 a.m. on Sunday night. And I was glad I did. After I messaged Allison and said, there's no way I'm finishing the book tonight. I'll finish it tomorrow. I have like 120, 150 pages left. And she went, oh, well, when you get to 80 pages, you're not going to put it down. And I'm like, no, I'm going to bed early tonight. I did not go to bed early.
That was a lie.
That was a lie to myself.
She did not.
It was a lie to Allison.
To me. You lied to me, Jen. I didn't care.
I lied to my husband, who was just like, aren't you going to sleep? And I'm like, yeah, I'm just reading two more pages.
That's such a great compliment. Yay!
Yay.
I turned you into a liar.
It's good. Though now I've been up until 2 a.m. every night this week because my schedule's gotten all like cattywampus.
You didn't know what to make that today. Well, and we were both talking about it. We went early today, but just a little bit. And sometimes going early just a little bit throws us off more. Like if you go completely different, you're like, okay, the show is just a different time today or a different day. Like we've had shows on Sunday with Josh Mellerman Sundays. And it's just different because it's like, all right, but a half hour, it's like our body clocks go.
Yeah, my brain's not smart enough to, like, all day I was like, Allison, keep reminding me that we're going a half hour early or else I, like, won't have my makeup on.
I know. If you look at our chat today, it's just like, half hour early. Me too. Yeah. Where are you? What's happening?
I'm glad, like, I don't know if y'all can feel it, but Mercury is in retrograde, so everything is super spacey right now.
Everything's weird, and then Friday the 13th, and then 2 days after that, there is a blood moon and flower moon lunar eclipse.
What's a flower moon?
It's just the full moon in May.
Wow, that's a lot all at once.
It's a lot.
I didn't know about Friday the 13th. I'd heard a little bit about the eclipse and that it's going to be kind of a doozy for people.
Yeah. Yeah. But so we can just blame it on the cosmos.
Not the cosmos.
This is
not alcoholic. I promise. This is literally a bunch of grenadine, a bunch of cherries. And
Mine's hard cider with a bunch of cherries. I mean, hard seltzer.
Is that hard seltzer? I just thought it was sparkling water.
Hard seltzer.
Day drinking. Oh, it's evening for you. You're allowed.
It's evening for me.
It's evening. It's not evening here. I have to drive after this, so I'm not allowed to be enjoying the fancy cherries and something harder. So, May, how did you get from, okay, we've got a bunch of lipsticks and a bullet to a bunch of cherries and a sword? What are you doing to these women? And where did this idea come from that you're going to have this one guy come in? Who did this to you? Who hurt you, May? I'm kidding, because I loved your dedication where it's like, to my lovely husband. I think you also mentioned your father, too. But it was basically like, who are nothing like Will.
Yeah.
Clarify, this is not drawn from real life, I promise.
I mean, it's totally fiction, but yes, I definitely had brushes with men like Will in my misspent youth. And so, yeah, maybe I was taking a stab at like a fictionalized version, a sort of like a, you know, like a kaleidoscope of these different personalities that I had to meet. But I mean,
I like that you just said had to meet. Yeah.
Like, you're like, you gotta kiss a lot of frogs.
Yeah,
exactly.
Kiss them.
Exactly. But, you know, and I think, like, in a lot of ways, Will is, like, pretty stereotypical villain, psychopath, oozes charm, up to no good. Like, he's not that distinct in a lot of ways. And I tried to give him certain characteristics to make him distinct, like his love of books and art and...
Yeah, like, this is the poetry spouting. Yes. It's, like, all the... right and wrong times. Like, oh, hold on, let me pull out my poetry book.
Exactly.
I am a sucker for that, though. So, especially with like a vaguely European accent, I think you referred to it as, where like, where is he from?
Well, and you also explain that by giving him kind of a traveling origin where he wasn't always in one place and then raised in other places. So you can imagine somebody who's had that kind of travel where their accent just kind of morphs as they go. And now here he is in Texas. And I just, like, Jen and I afterwards, we were talking like, what was he thinking when he started? Because some of the stuff that happens seems premeditated, and some stuff that happens doesn't seem premeditated. Don't want to say anything that happens. But I'm just saying, it's not like, oh, things just exploded out of nowhere. There was some conniving, you know?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. It's kind of a tricky question because we don't want to spoil anything. I think the safest way to answer that is he knows that, like, he can tell pretty quickly that these women are...
drawn to him?
Yes, exactly. And vulnerable.
Right from the
yeah.
In many ways.
And like
all you can tell by how low their shirts go and how high their shorts come up when he's magically around. Oh, are they always dressed like that?
Yeah. I know. Yeah. Like, I'll just pop another button undone and just stroll up to his front door. Hi, just here to welcome you to the neighborhood.
Exactly.
It's like, I want the confidence that these women have. Also their bodies and their and their houses.
Yeah. Well, and there was also so you've got Jen is Jen in the book is constantly doing all these yoga poses, and I'm just going, wow, she must be in great shape. And then I want to say, is it Kitty's constantly on her elliptical and doing all this stuff? Where do they get the energy? It can't be from all the day drinking. Day drinking does not give you energy.
I think they're bored in this small town, and they have to, like, you know, Kitty's so obsessed with her looks and stuff. So she's like, has to punish herself. And then Jen is doing the yoga to look good, but also like to ground herself and find herself. And then I don't know. I think
beyond codependence, Jen, beyond codependence.
Exactly. I loved
because, like, I went through a divorce, and I know that afterwards some of my friends tried to take me to a group called Celebrate Recovery. And I'm like, all right, well, what is it for? And like, what can be for all sorts of things, including alcoholism. Like, I'm not really. And for codependence. And at the time I was seeing a counselor, and I told my counselor, and my counselor's like, you're not codependent. I'm like, I wasn't sure because I don't really know what it means. But I love the idea that, like, she's like trying to figure out what's wrong with me that this happened, instead of the fact that her ex-husband Felix was just a piece of shit, which is sometimes the answer. It's not codependence. He's a piece of shit.
Well, right. Sometimes it can be both, because sometimes even if they're a piece of shit, if you have codependency issues,
you're codependent with a piece of shit.
Yeah.
Poor Jen. Not you.
Jen the character.
Jen the character. Other Jen. Well, I think one of the scenes that got me, and again, it's not a spoiler, but the way that the way that Will interacts with Jen's son, just there, like, I feel like the thing is usually when you see books or any kind of media where there's a man and he's seducing women, the fact that he's in a way seducing her son, not like in a sexual way, but in like, hey, I could be the father figure that could replace your kind of jerk husband or ex-husband. That's just so, that's beyond screwed up, that there's targeting this kid and what that means. I unfortunately never seen that in real life, but I'm sure it happens.
Yeah, I think he just knows that, like, yeah, it's that Jen is very vulnerable in that arena, and that's going to win total brownie points with her, because let's face it, he doesn't care about Casey.
No, I tried to tell myself, maybe he does. Maybe he does like Casey. And I'm like, oh, why am I trying to make excuses for hot Will? He's the villain.
Hot Will, therefore. Well, and I think you just summed up so much of the book. It's like, why are we making excuses for him? There you go. That's half of the thing that was going on in the book, is why are we making excuses? Well, because we want to find something redeemable rather than just, well, look at him.
And there's something so intoxicating when somebody who is that attractive gives you attention.
Yeah.
At all. Like, it's like you can get almost like drunk on it. It's like, this person is looking at me.
Yeah, I think that's it. And I didn't really think about that, but when I did, gosh, I don't know if it was today or yesterday, because my brain is just so fried these days. But
Wednesday, for those watching. Today's if you're watching it on replay, you're on your own. I have no help for you.
But I was talking to this really smart podcaster, and she said that it also like talks about the way in which women are sort of so beat down that when in society and with, you know, looks and everything, that, yeah, when someone super like crazy attractive comes on to you, you do have all this, you feel all this value all of a sudden. Like, even if you know better, even if you were raised by a feminist, like, it's still so ingrained to be like, you know, and Will's not just like some hot, dumb jock. Like, he is worldly and so alluring on all these different levels. So I feel like, I mean, I think some readers already are just rolling their eyes and like, these women are weak and shallow. But I'm like, well, who among us, you know?
Who among us isn't? Especially when we get to, as we spoke about it earlier, the age of, you know, the 40s and area. Where we're like, kind of menopausal, still wishing we were hot. Are we
still wishing we looked like our teenage daughters? And I mean, honestly, I think the line that broke me the most in the whole thing had nothing to do with Will, but just the idea when Kitty's teenage daughter basically says within her earshot, and I don't remember the specific line, but just basically says, like, what does it matter that she's doing all this stuff? She's never going to be hot like us anymore. And I'm just going,
yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, I know. Shut up,
kid. Yeah, that was a real doozy for me too. But it was like,
did you just write it and then like push the computer back and just like,
I can't with myself anymore?
Pretty much. I mean, I was like, what evil thing could she say that a teenager would say about their mom? I think she says like, she's in there punishing herself on her Peloton. Not that it matters. She's still going to be old and fat or something like that. Like,
I know. And I'm like, fat? I never pictured her as fat. She's not.
Yeah.
But she's never going to be 16, 17 again, because that's just not what she also had a baby, and that changes bodies too. Fun. Yay.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, I did really kind of want the Kitty workout regime though, because that woman can drink like a son of a bitch. Like, she's like two bottles of wine a night, easy, plus tequila, and she's still looking good. And I'm just like, if I have like two glasses of wine, I'm like puffy for 2 weeks.
Oh yeah, I'm not working out the next day. But it's funny, that's how the East Texas women roll. Like, they do the wine stuff and they go out, and then like they're the next day they're doing their, and I'm just amazed. I'm like, whoa, like, why do you look so good? And how do you look so good? And how are you functioning And it's real.
Yeah, I think last time you were on the show, I mentioned that once I did a ballroom dance competition in Texas, and those women were just like all of the things, like perfect skin. The hair was just like big and had like glitter in it, and it was 7 a.m. and they looked
in the
great.
Hair?
Oh yeah. And then after
were they
like
in the dance competition,
yeah.
And okay, then, like, then that makes more
compete
sense.
All day, and I'd see them in the bar at night. And then the next morning when I'm like, oh gosh, I think I'm going to die. I shouldn't have gone to the bar. They did not look the way I did or behave the way I did or feel like I did. I'm sure they were just like glowing. And I'm like, I'm still in last night's makeup.
I look like a raccoon that got hit by a car.
I'm so glad you witnessed that, because it is, it's like... I can't tell you how many times my editor for the Hunting Wives and this one was like, is this real that women, you know, drink this much? And I'm like, God, I toned it down, you know, like, yes, they do. And, but they are going to look good. And yes.
Your editor's not from Austin, is she?
No.
Well, I live in New England, and we come from like this area. People do drink a lot too. Like there's just like this steady stream of like craft cocktails. Like everybody goes on like, and like go on like whiskey vacations where they just like go and tour and drink whiskey. And it's just such a part of our culture that like, I don't even think about it being weird. And then like when I'm writing, I have my characters are drinking all the time. And I did have one person go like, people don't drink that much. They don't. And I'm like,
some of us do.
Yeah, they do.
Well, and I know, I think I have my characters drink a lot more than I do, but I feel like I was always kind of one of those people who I was never the one who drank growing up. Like my first drink, my sister made sure I drank before I turned 21 as like a rite of passage. She's like, you were almost 21. I'm going to get you drunk. My parents were out of town and I was like a month away from turning 21 and we tried to drink Bailey's and it had curdled. I don't drink Bailey's now because ew. Yeah, it was that. It was bad. But that was about it. And I still don't drink much now. And so what possessed me to write a book with a bunch of bourbon in it, which I had never tried. And now it's like, oh, by the way, that's your brand now. Turns out I do like it. It's fine, but I didn't know at the time. So it's one of those things where I think you don't have to pull it from reality so long as people aren't going, oh, yeah, that much, they would all have completely failed livers at this point.
Yes.
Yeah.
Exactly. Exactly. The Bailey sounds brutal.
I'm sorry.
Yeah. The milkiness.
Can we edit this out?
Yeah. Edit out the part about the curdled Baileys, Roman.
Dana, that was your fault. Actually, it was my dad's fault for not, like, drinking enough to not keep curdled stuff in. Like, really? Come on. And then she made me watch The Shining. I don't know what we were doing.
That sounds like a great night. Besides,
I know
the
curdling part. You see, you remind me of my sister. You would have picked the same thing.
I would have, except I would have gotten you drunk way earlier than just before your 21st birthday.
That's true. This is why I'm older than you, that you wouldn't have had the opportunity to do that, to corrupt me in such a way.
I would have. I'm an overachiever.
Yes.
So, May, when we were, you had teleported away from us and it was just Allison and I, we were talking about the only children syndrome in the book. And I'm an only child. So like, I love that you wrote about a group of only children and how they made each other their family.
You're freezing.
Oh no.
Now you're.
Y'all are both frozen to me. Jen's back.
Okay, Allison's frozen to me.
Yeah, she's frozen.
Oh, it's the Mercury in retrograde. I'm telling you, people.
No, it is for sure.
Allison will pop back.
Okay.
Oh,
I'm
she's
here.
She's back.
I unplugged and came back, but.
Well, we're all.
Can you hear me now?
Yep. Okay. So the only children syndrome, like I mentioned it before, I loved it because I feel like once friends become more than friends and they become family, then I feel like treating each other poorly is more forgivable. I hate to say that, but.
No, that makes sense to me. I mean, I have two sisters, so I'm not an only child, but like I know some of my friends are only children and my son's an only child. And I do think it's super interesting how sort of close you can get if you're an only child to your friends. Like, they do become your sisters. And yeah.
And female friendships, I just like, I love writing about them. I love reading about them. I love it when they're healthy. I love it when they're toxic in books, not in my real life. So what made you think, let's talk about only children and who all only have one child too? So I felt like there's like this second generation of the only children's club that was.
The cycle continues. That could have been another title for your book, The Only Children's Club.
Yeah, I did. I just wanted the women to feel like a sisterhood because, you know, Kitty and Cynthia are, they're pretty wealthy and Jen's more middle class growing up. So in my hometown, the only way they would bond with her is through this unique thing, which is she's an only child too, because normally you really stay in your own strata. And so I wanted Jen to not have everything that they have. And then I think it is kind of common now for families to just have the one kid. And I feel like,
yeah, we have three and we're crazy.
Yeah. Oh, I can't imagine.
It really depends on where you are. And I feel like it depends on the culture around you. I felt like for a long time, the fact that we had two and didn't have three is like, we seem to be children short. And, you know, we always said 2 to 3. And when we ended up with two, we're like, okay, this is good. We could handle another one. All right, now we're done, when we had three. But there are places where one is really common, but one is uncommon around where I am, and that's Orange County, California. So I think it depends on like what the parents' ideas are, but I only know a few singletons around here, and it's like, oh, there's just the one of you. Oh,
no, that totally makes sense. No, it does. And yeah, and I feel like it wasn't, I mean, okay, maybe I was being lazy as a writer, but
I can't write more than one kid.
I want to write more than one kid, but I loved the fact that you had symmetry going on of these women who were obviously the same age, but then they all had kids within a year or two of each other, so they all ended up about the same age. Although I did admit to Jen, and it was because of something that you wrote about a picture of Casey, that in my head he was a toddler he got a car, and then I'm like, no, he's not a toddler.
Yeah.
But it was just an old picture of him. So that I aged him up appropriately at that point.
No, I see what you're saying. And I don't know if I put this in the book. I don't think I did. But when I was doing like my character sketch of Kitty, she wanted to have a big family, but she couldn't. And so.
Oh, so she's got this hole inside of her heart that she has to fill with tequila.
Yes.
And attention.
Yes. And that's why, like, she's sort of bent the way she's bent. And I don't know why that didn't make it onto the page, but it was definitely in the back of my mind. And Cynthia, I honestly think this is going to sound terrible. Like, she just had a kid because everyone else did.
She seems the least connected to her child. Like, there are points when she's like, I think he's over there. Yeah, he's doing that. Okay, maybe I should have paid more attention. All right. There's no connection. Every other one, there's real interactions between the mom and the child, for better or for worse, whether they're healthy or unhealthy. But she's just like, I am aware that there is a child in my life.
Like, I think he's at his friend's house, or maybe he's at band practice. I was thinking like he might be gay, but I don't know. Oh, well.
Well, and it's like he's a man who plays the flute and likes, and he's kind of nerdy. So I was like, he could be gay, he could be asexual, he could just be really confident in his sexuality. And the mom, she's just like, I don't really care.
Yeah.
Like, she doesn't even, she's like, you exist.
Which is kind of a little bit like East Texas. It's like, she doesn't really want to, like, she's okay with whatever, but she also,
she doesn't want to get involved. Like, yeah. That would be a lot.
Involved. They're not like all woke down there. And even though she's fine and like accepting and, you know, even like supportive, it's just, okay, well, her husband would be mortified. And so, yeah, there was some conversation.
Just talk about it.
Yeah. He's going to go off to college and he's going to do what he wants to do. And that's, yeah. And I'm gonna be in Europe. So
bye.
Bye.
Yeah. Well, and there's also this aspect with all of them where they're all looking at each other's lives, going, "What did you get that I didn't get?" And I feel like that was this huge theme. And you mentioned earlier, so Jen didn't come from money, but they both look at her as like, "Oh, but then you went and lived in this big city, and you think you're all cultured. You think you're better than us now, and now you're with this European dude, and now you think that your husband or your boyfriend is better than us. Oh yeah, well I'll see about that."
Exactly. Yeah, which I think, you know, I think so many friendships are like that. They're so competitive. And I mean, not my friendships, thank God, but I've definitely, I mean, we all know what that feels like to be sized up by your friend and, you know, size your friend up. And
It's hard even, especially if you connect with other writers, there's this natural thing of, okay, where are you in your writing career? Okay, well, where am I? Okay. And even the ones you love and you want to be supportive of, it's like, oh, are they getting ahead of me? Instead of just being, can we all love and support each other and be there to lift each other up and be cheerleaders? And that's always going to be a struggle when you're like, well, if I'm not where I want to be and they're getting where they want to be, but there are people who then go toxic with it. And we don't talk to those people anymore.
No, we don't. I mean, and I dealt with that a lot, like because I did, you know, in the before times, I was a professional ballroom dancer. And before that, I was a theater performer professionally.
Everything you've done has been competitive and cutthroat. Yeah. You're just used to it at this point.
I'm just so, like, I'm so dead to it.
Me, and I hate her now.
I remember one of my favorite / least favorite memories was I also was a set painter. And I was painting the set for a professional production of A Christmas Carol. And I had been cast as Belle in that production, which is a good role. Belle is Scrooge's lady love. And people didn't see me because I was behind the set painting. And they, conversation between two people who didn't get the role was like, "I always thought Belle was supposed to be pretty, but they cast Jennifer." Oh, and I was just like, oh my God.
Well, tell me what you really think.
Yeah. Nice. And these were two girls. I was younger then. We were in our 20s. Who I had seen them earlier that day and they were like, "Congratulations. Oh my gosh, you're going to be the greatest Belle." Blah. So yeah. So yeah, I get the little toxic stuff in this in your book.
Isabel in my head is always a duck because I think of the Christmas Carol with the, you know, Scrooge McDuck. You don't look like a duck.
In the right light, I can.
I can be a duck. Sure, why not?
But Jen, that is such a sad little story. I hate those people.
I hate those
people.
Give us
names.
Now look at me now.
Give us names.
I'm a host of a podcast.
But seriously, I mean,
not getting them in this.
That's like a movie scene back there, like you're painting and
I know. And like wearing like paint covered pants and just like, "I do this because I'm poor too." So it's like.
And then you look at yourself going, "I don't feel pretty right now." Like there's probably in your hair and you're like.
I definitely didn't smell pretty or look pretty at that moment. That's okay. That's okay. So May, your book comes out in less than a week now.
Six
days. Congratulations. Are you already hard at work yet? My Summer Darlings by May Cobb. I'm sure you're already working on something or editing something that's going to be released next year. Can you tell us a little bit about a little sneak peek? Do we have a book a year?
I am in the middle of edits on my fourth thriller, which is called A Likeable Woman. And
That's a good title.
Thank you. And I think it's slated to come out next summer, sort of later in the summer. And it's about a 30-something woman who, since she's 15, has always been told her mother killed herself, but she's never believed it. She thought she was murdered, and she's fled her East Texas town to live in LA, but now she's being lured back home when a frenemy's having a vow renewal party over a weekend. And
oh yes.
Yeah. So she goes back there and then danger starts to lurk. So it's super tropey in some ways, but it's also like, I tried to do like a locked room mystery this time.
Oh, I love locker room mysteries.
I know, that just gave me chills. I'm like, oh, I'll never be able to write one of those. In my head, I'm always like, things I want to write but won't be able to because I just don't think I have the wherewithal.
Yes, locked room mystery. Yes, you do. I didn't think I did either. And I'm not even saying it works because I'm still.
Because one of the edits was, this doesn't make sense.
Oh, boy. It's true. Well, one of my friends, she's about to go on sub, so I won't say too much, but she has one that has to be so tight where she's like, I can release as bonus content later the schedule of what every character is doing at every point in time, because that's how many moving pieces there are that if one edit had to happen, all the dominoes go falling, right? It's that kind of thing. So I hear you. And so I believe in you because you write the kind of stuff where as I see the pieces from different angles, you're like, oh, I didn't realize, oh, it worked that way too. Ooh, your brain works that way. My brain just starts looking at butterflies over there.
Well, I'm excited for this book next year. I'm excited about My Summer Darlings. It's going to be a huge hit. Stay off of Goodreads.
Thank you.
Stay you and everybody else. Off of Goodreads. Unless you have nice things to say, then drop your 5 stars and go away.
Yeah, Goodreads is not a place for if you just have something nice to say.
No, I don't know why that is. I don't know why people are like that, you know? I feel like for a review, if it has constructive things that another reader might go, oh, you know what? I don't really like things where there's day drinking. Okay, maybe this isn't the book for you. Fine. But I've seen people write just stupid stuff that has nothing to do with it. And I saw one thing trending today on Twitter where someone got a 1-star review on Amazon because their friend ordered the book and it wasn't what they wanted. They didn't even read the book. It was just the wrong product in Amazon. Let that stay. That was lovely. Like, really? Really? Pretend it makes sense because it doesn't. Yeah.
Well, May, thank you so much for being with us today.
Thanks for hanging in there with all the technical problems.
Yes, I know. Glad we bounced back. And then
the mercury being in retrograde.
We survived it.
Sailor Moon?
Sailor Moon. It's the blood moon. It's a flower moon and a blood moon eclipse.
But Jennifer, it's supposed to be good for you because it has a lot of stuff with Leo.
Oh, good. I need something good right now.
No, it's supposed to be. It is. We'll talk later. But
good.
It's supposed to be. It's supposed to be a good thing for your people.
For my people, my lion people. Exactly. And for people who are like watching this now and they're like, how does May know when Jennifer's birthday is? I share a birthday with the like antagonist of May's last book, The Hunting Wives, Margot. You know, a kind of antagonist.
Definitely.
Yeah. So thank you again, everyone who is watching this live or on the replay. Stay tuned for next week when we have author Tori Eldridge on our show. I know. We're very excited.
A dance.
Dance among the flames.
Be flame dance. Books. I will not set myself on fire. I'm not going to have candles on because I would set myself on fire. It's not going to.
Thank you. And everyone, if you're watching this on YouTube, make sure to hit like and subscribe. And we will see you all next week. Bye.